Our first speaker is Dr. Menzel. She's presenting on Assessing Community Health Competencies in BSN Students, a Curriculum Evaluation. Dr. Menzel is an Associate Professor of Community Health Nursing at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas School of Nursing, where she conducts research on the prevention of work-related injuries, particularly in the Latino construction worker population. Thank you, and welcome.
Well, thank you all for getting up and coming this morning. All 5.5 of you, because I think you're not a community health nurse, is that correct? Are you here as a support? No, the 6 of you, yeah, okay. When you think of Las Vegas, you probably think of gambling and so forth, but we've chosen as our backdrop this picture of the Red Rock. And there's a big seam of red in there, so if you ever come out to Las Vegas, be sure to visit the environs. There's something there beyond the slot machines and smoke. Okay, let's see. I have nothing to disclose. In many ways, that's unfortunate because there's very little funding that goes on of curriculum evaluation projects. Someone mentioned in one of the presentations I went to yesterday that there should be more research on the role of public health nurses. Well, yes, there is, but you know, who will fund it? So several years ago, in 2010, we began to revise the curriculum at UNLV School of Nursing. In that shuffling, we were told that we had to students had to complete our program with a total of 120 credits from the time they entered as freshmen till they graduated. The curriculum became compressed. It was 4 semesters. And so at the time that I began to work out there in 2006, the population-focused course had been 5 credits, and it was reduced to 4. It was my idea to move it down to the second level, because I had been teaching it in the 4th level for quite some time, and the students really had their eye on the barn door. They were taking critical care, they were taking leadership, they were interviewing for jobs in hospitals. And when I tried to talk to them about fundamental principles, such as primary prevention, social determinants of health, they really was creating cognitive dissonance. And it was my opinion that they were suppressing the message of population-focused care. So I was the one that decided to move it down to the second level. At the same time, I had to take a cut in credits from 5 to 4. So there's 30 hours of class and 90 hours of clinical. And I wanted to find out whether this was an effective way of presenting this material while at the same time meeting some of the essentials. The Association of Community Health Nurse Educators, ACHNE, published a document in 2009, right after AACN published its essentials in 2008. And in the ACHNE Essentials document, which is available on its website, they identified 5 core professional values, 15 core knowledge areas, and 78 basic competencies. So do you think I could achieve 78 competencies in a 4-credit course? Unlike the essentials, the baccalaureate essentials, the ACHNE essentials and competencies were very specific. So when we revised the course, and it was the community health faculty, these are the things that we had to consider. Of course, the AACN Essentials, which does have a lot on population-focused care, much to the distress of our faculty, because they really want to focus on the treatment of illness in individuals, and after all, that's what's on NCLEX, right? So we also had to include the School of Nursing curriculum outcomes, the level objectives. We have 4 levels. Each level has objectives. The program objectives, the Acne Essentials, the faculty and clinical site resources. We admit 48 students three times a year, and the state board caps clinical groups at 10 for community health. And we are extremely limited in Las Vegas for clinical sites. We are able to use the schools for one group. We are able to use the health district. At the time we revised this, they limited us to accepting 4 students. The Las Vegas area has 2 million people, and it has a very large health district, but they really said we could only send 4 students. And then none of the other sites really had any sort of nurse or mentor on site, so we'd go to the homeless shelters and sort of make our own sites. And employer expectations. Now, unlike most of you who probably come from areas with much more enlightened view of the world, the job description for a public health nurse at the Southern Nevada Health District, the requirements are BSN or 2 years of experience. So a large percentage of the people who work there are diploma grads or associate degree, and when they get a position, it's a county position, and after 30 years they can retire with a pension. So once they're employed, they very rarely leave. Since I've been there in 2006, they've hired a total of 3 nurses in 7 years. However, they have hired 30 health educators. Because as the director of nursing there said to me, well, you know, they have master's degrees, they're certified, and they'll work for about half to two-thirds for what an RN will work for. So I think we can hear the nipping at our heels. The nurses have been pretty much relegated to working in the TB clinic and the immunization clinic where licensure is important. So I really think that we as public health nurses have to kind of look at some of the competition we're facing. There's a new group of workers out there now called community health workers, and I imagine that they will also step in some programs where nurses used to work. The other major employer is the schools in terms of community-based employment. But as I was discussing with my other presenter today, again, they're in the pension system, and it takes a long time for those openings to come out. But so, you know, the employer expectations are pretty low, as long as you have a BSN, but they really aren't requiring any essentials or competencies, and their job descriptions, at least in the health district, are not very expansive. So the community faculty met, came up with some course objectives. We looked over the ACHNE core knowledge areas and what areas to include. We excluded illness and disease management because that's being heavily educated in the rest of the program. We excluded the core knowledge of area of policy development. These are just basically sophomores in college, and that's a little bit beyond them. And we eliminated coordinator and manager. And then we further winnowed that down to 30 basic competencies that we intended to achieve. We created the survey tool to measure this, and then we created a didactic topical outline. So how many of you have heard of team-based learning? Okay. And it's a version of the flipped classroom where they have to do the reading before they come in, and they're given a individual readiness test, and then a group or team test, the same test, and then they have an application exercise. So some of the competencies we were able to have them work through in these application exercises, such as emergency response. We structured the clinical experiences to achieve some of the other competencies. For instance, one of the competencies is provide health information to clients from different cultures. We do have an African refugee center in Las Vegas. For some reason, we're one of the sites that they bring people from really all over the world to Las Vegas. And they're placed in homes or apartments, and the students went out and made home visits to present health information, which was quite a challenge given the communication barriers. And we would know in advance what language they were speaking, and the students would get the materials, and then the day we showed up, they were told, oh, that family has moved, and now you're going to a family from Cuba. And so we had stuff in the wrong language. But so that's the kind of thing that we were trying to do. One of our team members, my co-author on this paper, is she developed this student efficacy survey. And I'm not exactly sure how you access the materials, but I do have the handouts for this presentation uploaded onto the website. So that whole tool is there. If you can't locate it, you could ask me for it. It's a Likert scale, and from very little to quite a lot. We looked at how confident they were that they could perform the activity and how important they thought the activity was. And then we coded them with what core competency. This was in communication. I just did a little. That's just one part of it. So whenever you do a curriculum switch, you have to kind of teach out the last ones in the old curriculum while you're bringing in the new ones. So I did have a natural opportunity where I had level 4 students in the old curriculum and level 2 students in the new curriculum concurrently. So at the end of the course, we asked the students to complete the tool, and we did get IRB approval. So it was highly internally reliable. We did pilot test it, I guess I didn't say that. And we scored very little, 1, and quite a lot, 5. In an independent samples t-test, the level 4 students were significantly more confident than level 2 students for 22 out of the 30 competencies. The response rate, there were 36 students in level 4, and there were 48 students in level 2, so it was a fairly high response rate. And level 4 students also rated some things more important. So these are the core knowledge and basic competencies areas, and you can see that these were all of the level 4s were more confident in these areas, and they also rated more things in these areas as important. So the message to us was that what we were doing wasn't working as well. So it could have been a function of moving the course back into the second level. It could have been a function of the content that we chose to cover, which we of course had to abbreviate when you go from 5 credits to 4. And it also could have been the clinical model. Because data are hard to come by in Las Vegas, we had switched from focusing on an aggregate to focusing on a geographic community. There are several impoverished areas right around the university, high crime areas, and we had initially had the students focusing on certain zip codes from the aggregate model. So we changed that back to focusing on an aggregate. We decreased a lot of the observational experiences because, again, the students learn better by doing, and we beefed up the epi content. And we had a lot of faculty whose main experience or qualifications was not in community health. This is probably common in most schools. When you're stuck, the department chair says, well, anyone can teach community, and they pull in somebody from OB, we had somebody from PEDS, and then they just say, here, go teach population-focused healthcare. So we had to try to mentor these folks. So we rearranged the course, and at the end of the course in spring 12, we compared it to spring 11. Now, we only had about a 60% response rate in the second study. For some reason, we had 48 students and only 28 chose to respond. So they felt the spring of 12 thought that they thought it was very important to locate data, but that they weren't as confident about initiating community partnerships. So when I did an ANOVA, there are significant differences in confidence persisted. The level fours, of course, this was now from 2011, their mean scores were at or above 4 in confidence, and the level twos were 3 to 3.9. Limitations, small sample size, tool had content validity only. The clinical hours were not reduced, so the differences in confidence level might be a function of time in the program. You know, they're just kind of, you know, feeling their way around by level two. And the same thing in rating of the importance of knowledge. So we've continued to tinker with the course. I haven't run this test again, but we've really taken out a lot of the observation, and most of it is now hands-on. So the ACHNI essentials, they're certainly an ideal. It's sort of like stories I read who fill out the dating service profile of the guy that they want to meet up with, or the girl, you know, must be, you know, wealthy, good looking, have a yacht, all these things. And that's really not where the rubber meets the road. This really needs to be slimmed down. There's just no way that in these compressed programs we could even approach this. So the discussion really should be, what is tomorrow's marketplace looking like, and how can we distill this down to basic things that they have to incorporate, such as the social determinants of health, levels of prevention, and so forth. It's just not realistic that we're going to achieve nearly 100 essentials. So although moving it to the beginning of the curriculum, or the almost beginning, we did lose competencies, but we were able to introduce some of these core concepts much earlier in the curriculum. As one of the students said to me, now you've ruined me, I don't want to go back to the hospital with sick people. So at least they get a little bit of indoctrination. The faculty have felt somewhat threatened because the students are wanting to know policy, you know, questions when they get to OB, like, and the OB instructor is not really prepared to answer that. So another recommendation I would have is to look at those competencies and see where some of them could be put in other courses. You know, a lot of people, at least in our school, think all of policy and all of health promotion all belong in community health, when it really should be spread throughout the curriculum. Thank you.